Begin our service with a prayer of adoration to God, so bow with me if you will. Almighty God in heaven, hallowed be thy great and matchless name. We, Father, as weak and sinful creatures, come before thy great throne, realizing, Father, that thou art God Almighty, the ruler of heaven and earth, the one who has created all things, the one who has created us, the one who is in control of all things upon this earth. It is only thee, Lord God, who are almighty and powerful. And great is thy majesty and thy power. And you deserve our worship, our respect, because thou art an awesome God. And Father, we as sinful creatures cannot comprehend how great and how majestic is thy name and thy power and thy glory. It is you, Father, who has planned our redemption through thy Son. It is you, Father, who has given us thy word to guide our lives. It is you, Father, who controls things and leads us in the right direction for our good and for thine. And we pray, Father, that we will always realize thou art our Father, that thou art God above, that you are in control. And Father, we pray that we will always worship you and always look at you with awe and respect, knowing, Father, that all things come from you. And as we enter into this service, Father, that we would do so in worship and praise and adoration, that thou would hear our petitions and our prayers, knowing, Father, that our prayers have power before thy great throne. Bless us and keep us. In Christ's name, amen.
I'm going to sing number 601. It's the hymn from Psalms 113, or the words from Psalms 113. But the tune, of course, is Lord, We Come Before Thee Now. We'll sing all three verses.
Oh, praise God, praise the Lord, He is
Psalms 148, 609. Again, we will sing all three of these verses.
All I see.
Let's pray.
Our Father, we come before you this evening, Father, thanking you for all the blessings in this life. We want to thank you especially, Father, for the spiritual blessings that you provided for us. We thank you for the plan of salvation that you had in place before the world was ever created. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for the word that you've given us, that we can see the interaction you've had with your people throughout all times, that we can study it and we can read it and see how you've worked with them and they've worked with you. We're thankful for that. We're thankful to Father also for Jesus and his willingness to come and die upon a cross for our sins. But not only that, Father, we're thankful for his willingness to come and to be born as a child, as we were a baby, to live on this earth, to go through the same physical things that we face every day, hunger, the love that we have for our fellow people, the anger that we have. We know that our Savior had all the same feelings that we have. We know that he lived a perfect life, a sinless life, and he doesn't ask us to do anything that he has not done his own self. We're thankful for that. We're thankful, too, for his willingness to go to that cross, to be tortured, to be humiliated by men, and to ultimately to give his life on the cross for our sins. We're thankful for that above all else. For we know that by his death, we shall live when this life is over, if we remain faithful. We're also thankful, Father, for the church the world over, the church that meets here. We're thankful for the elders that we have, that you've given us, that they watch over our souls, that they help lead us in the right direction, that they genuinely care about our souls and where we're going to spend eternity. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for our members here as well, Father, for them coming, participating with one another, the love that they have for each other. We're thankful for that as well. Father, we know that the church, the world over, faces difficulties, but we are still thankful for what we have, and we pray it continues. We're also, Father, thankful for the physical blessings of this life. We know, Father, that the air that we breathe is because you allow it to be so. The sun that warms us is because you allow it. The ground that we grow our food in is because you allow it to be so. The abilities you give us to feed and take care of ourselves, the animals that you provided for us that we eat and live off of. We know that all physical things are by your hand, and we're thankful for that. The homes that we have, the families that we have, the food and clothing that we have, we know it's all from you. And we pray we never take it for granted and always look to you, thanking you for these things every day of our life, not just on the first day of the week. We know that all things are by your hand. We're thankful too, Father, for our country. We're thankful for being born in a time in history where we are free, where we do not face the persecutions that many in the past have faced. We're thankful for this country. We're thankful for the men and women who gave their life for this country, that we have the freedoms that we do have. We pray that it will continue, but if not, we pray that your will be done in all things. As we carry on with our service this evening, Father, we pray that we'll be done acceptable in your sight with thanksgiving in our heart and a humble attitude. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Please bow with me. Lord, our Heavenly Father, holy is your name, and righteous are you. Lord, we pray now that your will be done in all things in this service. I pray that you would be with us, the elders of this congregation, to give us grace, Lord, as leaders, to be men above reproach, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to argument or fighting, not to be found for sordid gain, but to help those to be, help us to be hospitable towards all. To give us the faithfulness to be the effective leaders, so that we can be the loving shepherds and demonstrate all that which is good, sensible, just, devout, and self-controlled. Empower us, Lord, to hold fast to your faithful words, Lord, that we may be able to exhort in sound doctrine, refute those that contradict your word. Give us strength, Lord. God, our Father, who raised Jesus Christ, our Lord, from the grave, equip us as elders with every good thing, giving us the ability to do your will and be that faithful leaders that you be mindful of. Lord, give us a mind of a servant that we may serve the congregation here at Lakeland Hills so it be pleasing in your sight, that your will be done in all matters. Father, I pray that the fellowship of your faith would become effective through the knowledge of every good thing, that you would bring much joy and comfort in the love that we share together and cause our fellowship to be a source of sweet refreshment to our entire church family. Lord or Father, give us always the mind to be united in all things, working together, adding to our knowledge and strength and grace in your word. Give us the strength and the confidence not to grow weary in the duties to serve and guide. Allow us as men also to guide our families, to be fruitful, to be eloquent of speech and grace, to be those loving shepherds at home. Allow the fervent working together to be productive and fruitful. Guide all the spreaders and leaders of your word, Lord, that we may be lights shining out in this world, Lord. Help us each year to be of good cheer. Help us this year to be of good cheer and to strengthen us, allowing our lights to shine. Lord, this is our prayer through your Son's name, Jesus Christ, in whom we believe, in whom we pray, in whom the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Next, we're going to pray to God for faithfulness to labor. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we'll always be mindful that our purpose here on this earth is to fear you and keep your commandments. We pray for strength that we'll always be faithful in our labor and to set the example we should be to the world around us. We pray that we will understand that our labor isn't limited to the time we are here with the brethren, but in all aspects of our lives. We pray that we'll have a good and honest heart and diligently seek your word, to know your word, and know what we need to do to be faithful in our lives. We pray for the strength to always speak your word firmly, to oppose evil and teach the lost. We pray that all of us here, younger and older alike, will work hard to examine ourselves and to be examples to those around us of a faithful servant to you. We pray our speech and actions will be according to your word and profess godliness in our jobs, our classes, and the actions and focuses of our families will be one that reflects a dedication to serve you. We pray that we do not neglect responsibilities that we all have to teach your word to the lost, and that we will always admonish one another and encourage one another to faithfully labor for you. We pray that we hunger and thirst for your word, and that our desire to serve you is always increasing. We understand that in our service to you, that we cannot serve you grudgingly, and that if we attempt to serve you and do not have love, then it profits us nothing. We pray that we have the desire and work to achieve the desire to serve you with our whole heart. We pray that we have our treasures in heaven so that in difficult times we will labor faithfully. We pray that we labor together in unity, working and giving our all to one another in our songs, prayers, lessons, encouragements, and in our help to one another. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that in all these things we will always give you our best and that we will understand that it is our decision to remain faithful to you and that serving you isn't a half-hearted decision, but firm dedication that we will serve you regardless of the consequences. We pray that we will understand that just as the parable of the talents, if we do not give you our all in everything we do, that we will not strive and we do not strive our hardest, that we not hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We pray that we will always look to you and your word for guidance, so that we may receive our heavenly reward. And through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want you to look at the title of this right here. A desire to love, forgive, and help. That covers a mighty large range. Let's bow. Our Heavenly Father, we know that your scripture teaches us to have the desire to serve thee, and we pray that we do. We face many challenges in this life, but we have a desire to serve you, to love you, and to help others and be forgiven, because if we don't do that, there's no chance of us. We're so thankful to be in a strong congregation that we can serve you, our true and living God. We're thankful for these opportunities to call on thee in prayer, because we're so blessed in this world. Look at our health and our strength. We've given us a beautiful family. You've given us a comfortable building to serve thee in. We're not scared of the world around us. We're certainly fearful for things. But help us to have the desire, Lord, no matter what we face, and we'll face many challenges in this life, that we hope and pray that we will, no matter what, we'll have the desire, the love, and be the kind of people that people could see the Lord living in us, because this world outside will eat us alive if we're not careful. We have to be strong in the faith. We have to be serving people, that we would serve thee no matter what. We pray for wisdom from above to always do thy will, and we pray you'd strengthen us all in the faith that we know only you can do. But help us always, because we know the reward in the end is great. But if we don't follow thy teaching and serve thee and have that absolute hope that we just read, we'll not have a chance ourselves. We pray that you'd be with everyone that speaks, that we'll have a recollection of the things to say, and that we'll be encouraging in our life. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll ultimately forgive us, because we have the hope, because we serve a true and risen Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
My prayer is on a desire to confess and repent. And before that, I would like to prepare our minds and read Psalms 32 and verse 5. Psalms 32 and verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Please pray with me. O Lord, we come before you now, humbly praying that all will come to the realization that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, knowing that we are not living as we should, and that this road we chose leads to destruction. We pray that we would come to you, and we would have a desire to change our ways, to repent of our sin, and look to your word and ask the question, brethren, what shall we do? And we pray that your priests will rise up and show us what we must do to be saved, showing that we must confess to you our sins. For we know that if we confess, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That just as David, if we confess and repent to you, all against you and you only I have sinned, you will forgive us. We also pray that you will abide in us, for sin is what separates us from you. And we pray that we'll all understand that sin is a disgusting, destructive thing, and we should desire for you to be near to help protect our souls. And we pray that we would have a desire to confess and repent, to have a desire for God to abide in us. For what is life without God, the creator of all the earth? For he created all things, and in him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And it's in Jesus' name, in whom we believe, we pray. Amen.
Let us pray.
Our awesome God in heaven,
As we bow before you and offer these prayers, at this time we want to ask for the help with endurance. We recognize we live in such a blessed land, and that we have so many privileges and opportunities of this life to enjoy. And there's so very little that we truly have to endure. But we recognize that there will be times that may come in our lives, whether because of sickness or illness, of family members, loved ones, things that we cannot understand nor explain. We pray that we can endure these heartaches and problems and trials and tribulations that come our way. That as we consider your words, as you wrote, as James wrote in James 1 and verse 2, that we are to count it all joy when we fall into various trials and tribulations, that we will truly understand what that means. That we can be as Paul and Silas in that inner prison, recognizing that there is joy even in the troubles that we have. Not that we revel in those as if we were a crazy person, as if we were carnal, but that we are preparing our hearts for those things that are holy and blessed before you, those things that are from above, those things defy all human reason and logic. May we prepare our hearts for endurance. There may come a time in this nation, maybe even very shortly, in which we will suffer much more, that there will be things that we may experience that we've never had in our lives, that may challenge and test us as to whether or not we are in the faith. May we endure. May we persevere. May we learn from those New Testament Christians, those that even followed in the second and third century, that was enduring persecution on such a high level. Some even being martyred, those that were put to death, recognizing as we see that there is great calamity and evil that seems to prevail, begging and asking the Lord, well, how long will you suffer with these? But hearing his gentle and calm words, being thankful that he gave us white garments, enduring, waiting for his time. For we understand as we persevere that it is in your time. As we sing the song, may we believe it. May we live it in our lives. May we pause and think and give thought to the things that are happening to us and wait on you. We recognize that there are challenges in this regard, and there may be even more. May we help one another in this. May we be ready to, as we've talked about repentance, to confess our sins and repent before one another. May we bolster and strengthen one another. As we learn from the Galatian letter, may we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Again, may we endure. May we endure to the end. As we learn from the letter in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, that if we are willing to do that, if we are faithful to our endurance, then we will receive that crown of life. May we do so. And may we help one another in this regard. Again, preparing for things that may come, learning through the things that already occur in our lives. Some great, some physical, some not so terrible. But even those things that are spiritual, may we endure. There are challenges, we know. And so we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we can have the calm resolve. May we find the peace that passes all understanding. And to learn, as Paul told the Philippians, to be anxious for nothing, but in all prayer and supplication, make our requests be known. So we ask you to help us in this. Help us and help us to help others to do the same. And so we pray for endurance. And this is the prayer we offer up to you in Christ's most blessed and holy name. Amen.
Let us now offer a prayer to help us with our zeal for teaching. Heavenly gracious Father, at this time we come to you, Lord, thanking you for the ability to learn and to teach. Lord, we thank you for your Son who was that perfect example that we should all follow as he taught his disciples as he was here with them. And he taught them to use the Holy Spirit that he gave them to lead others to him, to let them understand who he was and what his purpose was. So today, we are also to remain those teachers. As we teach in our own ways, each of us to our own abilities, whether it is in a classroom or it's through our actions and our influence in the communities we serve, Lord, we just ask that we continue to have that desire to teach others. Lord, because in teaching, we know that we must constantly learn, that we would always seek to learn the meat as we're taught in the Bible and not just the milk. Lord, that we can be furnished to spread your word and to lead others to you, Lord. And that we would earnestly strive to do that through our everyday ventures, whether we're here meeting in an assembly or we're going through life, Lord, there are always those opportunities, teachable moments that we will encounter. Lord, as we continue with the lesson tonight and through this prayer service, Lord, and as we enter into our new year, we just ask that we continue to desire to teach and have that love of learning and teaching that you would have us to do, that we had learned from the example your son showed us. All these things we ask in his holy name. Amen.
Number 623, song number
623. Know me, God, my King, thy mighty mountain, ever real, I bless thy name. Day by day, thy former blessing, still will I thy praise proclaim. Full of kindness,
number 644 from Psalms 118.
No soul that soul in vain that honors all with Oh!
Phil, please pray with me. Our gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, we come before you now boldly confessing our faith in you. You have given us hope, salvation. You have give us the strength to take firm hold and never let go. In you, O Lord, we take refuge. Let us never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver us and reserve us, rescue us. Incline your ear to hear us and save us. Be to us a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save us. For you are our rock and our fortress. Rescue us, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are our hope, our trust, O Lord, from our youth. We trust in your mercy. Grant our heart joy in your salvation. For yours is the kingdom forever. In Jesus' blessed and holy name we pray. Amen. Tonight I'd like to continue the thought of our hope, a prayer of hope. If you'll turn with me to Jeremiah 17, I'd like to read a passage from there. In Jeremiah chapter 17, and starting in verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. So what is our hope? The Webster Dictionary will describe hope as to cherish a desire with anticipation, to desire with expectation or fulfillment, to expect with confidence. But when we look at the scriptures, we see that man doesn't have any hope on their own. You see, in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, you know, as Satan comes to earth, he tempts Eve, and they take of that fruit. In Proverbs chapter 12, we read a lot that man's ways, whatever he thinks, leads to death. And so we know we can't trust in our own hope. So, what is our hope? God gave us hope, though. He calls it the solid rock. We sing a song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If you will turn to Psalm chapter 62. In Psalm 62 and in verse 5. It says, my soul, wait in silence for God alone, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God, my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And so we look at it. Jesus' blood is the first thing that is mentioned, because he's the one who gave us the salvation. Without his blood, there wouldn't be a salvation. Our righteousness would mean nothing without Jesus' blood. And so it was fitting to put him first. God comes first, then us. You know, we read Matthew chapter 6 that we're to seek God's kingdom first, and then everything to be added to it. And so if you'll turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus' blood is the hope that we have, the hope of the cross. And then our righteousness must follow. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 21. It says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So we must have that righteousness once we have partaken of the blood that he has given us. It must be that living sacrifice, as it says in Romans 12. That is our hope. And Jesus will call us to that hope. If you'll turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll start in verse 10. It says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. And so we must take that hope that he has given us. It starts first, if you're not a Christian, then we must first hear his word and we must believe upon it. In Romans 10, verse 17, it'll say that our faith comes by hearing and hearing his word. You'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. This verse here will help us understand a little bit more of what it means to actually hear it. It says, starting in verse 1, therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. So not just hearing it, but we must actually believe it and take hold of it. It's an action. It's not just something you think about. But then he doesn't stop there. He wants our repentance. He wants us to realize that we have actually sinned, that there is something to change. You'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 17, we see a sorry state, something that realizes how much of a repentant heart we need. It says in verse 17, for you know that even afterwards, when he desired, speaking of Esau, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it for it with tears. We can cry all we want to. We can say, oh, we wish we had done something differently. But if we don't actually change, there's no repentance. God can't accept that. And then we must confess that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that we want him to lead our lives. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 9. It says, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. But that's not enough. God wants more from us. He wants us, wants our all. In Romans chapter 6, he says that he wants us to be baptized. We want to be buried with him in Christ. That just as Christ died on the cross, we must also bury that old man and become someone new. In Romans chapter 6 and in verse 4, he says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. But that's not all. As he calls us to this hope of salvation, we're not done after becoming that Christian. We must continue to be that Christian. We must live faithfully. You'll turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So we must continue setting our minds on those things that are above, setting our minds on the word of Christ that he has given us, and continue to work in that. So, what is your hope? God has called you, but what is your hope now? Are you a Christian? If not, you need to become one. God is asking you to become one. God does not desire for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. If you are a Christian, but you have fallen away, God still calls you. He hasn't given up on you. He wants you to take hold of that hope and hold it, and take firm hold of it, and give it to others so that they may take firm hold of it. But if you're not a Christian, if you've fallen away from that light that he has given you, then you still have no hope, just like that sinner. God is calling you. Will you please come as we stand and sing the invitation song?
Number 378, the song of God. I hope it fills my nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust on the sinner's day, but holding on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock and stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His only Son, Lord, of his blood, saw for me in the whelming flood.
We've come to the part of our worship where we take the Lord's Supper to remember what he gave, what he sacrificed in order for us to be saved. Is there anyone that needs the implements? Okay. Well, we want to go in prayer and thank God for the bread. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this bread that represents the body of your Son.